Well, it's been a while. Welcome to the Experimental Game Dev podcast show. And so I've been busy working on some stuff, and also I've just felt that basically doing interviews, kind of really covering the same topics in every interview, it's something that I don't want to do at this point. Maybe that'll change in the future. And maybe I'll go to game conferences again and interview kind of the more exotic types of game designs that I've seen. I don't know. But for now, I've actually been writing some concepts, and I've had this book called Game Utilities. I've written it a while ago, actually, and I intended to release it, but never really got around to it. And so I think the next several podcasts will cover pretty much the like a chapter at a time. So we'll do a chapter at a time and we'll see where it goes. So let's get started. So the book is called Game Utilities, and so along with the audio, I will kind of release the text. In the audio, I'll try to stay true to the text, but I'll also maybe add some commentary. And we'll see how that goes. So let's get started. So, game utilities. Game utilities, chapter one. Game utilities are play experiences that are a useful and additive part of a person's normal life needs and desires. As the world gets more interactive, and we always see that, and playful, game utilities will increasingly play a larger role as the set of redesigned playful activities that people use to satisfy their core needs and desires. If we look at the current game utility paradigm, let's just treat it like a new computing shift. Let's compare it to the previous shifts, like the desktop PC and the web revolution, and even the mobile computing shift. And if we look at these different shifts, there were kind of core concepts and designs and different design spaces that came along with these shifts. So, for example, with the desktop, desktop computing, which has been a long time ago, relatively, the killer language was maybe C++ and Visual Basic. The killer kind of volunteer apps, or the volunteer systems, was Linux, and which obviously was a competitor to Windows. And it really didn't catch on in terms of desktop, but it laid the foundation for a lot of the future operating systems and kind of future computing paradigms. The startups that really came out of the desktop era were maybe Microsoft. We would consider Microsoft, AOL, Netscape. And the distribution for desktops was mainly through retail, and I guess mail order and stuff like that. And the new form of content distribution was the computer desktop. Now let's look at the web paradigm, where basically the languages were like PHP and Flash. The killer volunteer app is kind of Wikipedia. The killer apps in general were search, social, information, communication, stuff around information communication, stuff like that. The startups that we've probably heard about are Google, Facebook, Amazon. The distribution point was the internet. And then the new forms of content distribution were little design spaces built on top of the core distribution, such as the search box or the news feed, stuff like that. And then we have the mobile paradigm. And then the core languages there, it seems, are kind of the mobile APIs, yeah. And Unity seems to be one of those core language or core tools used for mobile. It's getting more stronger. I don't know. We'll see what happens. The killer apps are really communication, social, user-generated content, videos. And some of the startups that have come out of it are Uber, which is kind of more location-sensitive type of startup, and then Instagram and WhatsApp. The distribution now is mainly the App Store or even some of these local areas or local arenas or local activities that you need to do, like hail a taxi or whatever else. And the new forms of content distribution are mainly apps that aggregate data, content, games within a domain. And so now we look at the game utility paradigm, and I don't know what the language, I mean, I have some ideas on what the language will be. I'm not going to get into it. There's no really killer volunteer app so far. And same with mobile. I don't know what the killer kind of freebie volunteer app, you know, the kind of open source type app that was really killer. Killer apps for game utilities, I don't know. I think the closest thing that I can say at this point would be maybe Tinder. And then the startups, I guess we would consider maybe Tinder, but there might be now new types of startups around these game utilities. And the distribution is maybe mobile, but it might change. But that's the interesting thing. And the new forms of content distribution may really be the game systems built on top of the data, content, and experiences that the game utilities cover. So we'll see what happens. I know this is a little vague. I like to treat game utilities as kind of a new design space, and that's really where this book is about, is kind of covering what could potentially happen after mobile. And I want to point out that when I talked about these previous computing paradigms, Netscape helped to catalyze the web revolution. You know, Facebook gave more reasons and helped to catalyze the web 2.0 revolution. And then Apple helped to come in and catalyze the mobile revolution. And each of these revolutions came from what I like to call Moore's catalyst. These are catalysts, kind of like in relation to Moore's law, but these catalysts or valuables are where cost went down to zero, and then people were able to build value on top of it. So for example, with desktop computers, it was computing, the cost of computing that went to zero. And it went from an hourly service that to use computing terminals to something that could be used at any time for just the cost of electricity. Each paradigm, I feel, had its own new unique design space. The proper leverage of these new design spaces helped to create the outstanding value within each of these mediums. And so for the PC, I felt it was the GUI that really kind of unlocked the potential of that, you know, the computing paradigm. For the web, it was the kind of design spaces around websites and information. And for web 2.0, it was like photos, comments, newsfeed, user-generated content. And game utilities will need to tap into new design spaces that leverage the new useful fun elements, concepts, systems that Moore's catalysts have made kind of cost zero, the new types of things that Moore's catalysts have driven to zero. This may include sensor data, mobile computing, location, context, compute, and other elements. The important thing about these utilities is that they become accelerators of new types of value and experiences. These utilities are games that can accelerate real-life experiences by orchestrating, directing, amplifying, and socializing experiences that are necessary for people to have fun and satisfying lives. The design space for game utilities uses a few new design dimensions that are different from traditional games. These include user-generated content and advanced game interaction systems built on user-generated content. This content can be manifested in the form of photos, GPS data, or other types of user data streams. In a way, game utilities are like a powerful subcategory of the game genre of user-generated games. These user-generated games can be perceived as providing an automated service for the game, because the game utilities have systems on top of the, you know, systems, user-generated systems that help to provide the gameplay. Even with the advent of what we now know as games as a service, quote unquote, the designer still would have to provide the daily content for the game. With the user-generated games, the players are really creating the value and content for the game. The role of the game designer is to then provide structures and systems to make the user-generated content added to the game much more fun and interactive and useful and playful. Some people might ask about the difference between user-generated apps and user-generated games. User-generated apps, I would say, focus more on the user-generated content. User-generated games apply advanced game and interaction systems to the user-generated content to make it more fun and engaging and useful for players, and in fact, may even allow new types of user-generated content. And I think that's also interesting too. For example, in the Fun Friends game, the Fun Friends is a game utility that revolves around dating. The game leverages user-generated content in the form of photos that people kind of, and let me detail what the Fun Friends game is about. In the Fun Friends game, players buy and sell each other in the game. When a player buys someone, the other person becomes a pet. The owner can then do various activities to the pet. They can play with their pet. Additionally, each player has a set of fun picks that can only be viewed by the person that buys or owns them. The owner can add comments to these photos, amongst other things. The fact that these photos are hidden and only available to the owner that buys, you know, the player pet, is a reflection of how a designer would design mechanics to revolve around user-generated content. The mechanics and designs for user-generated content really revolve around making the content more valuable and compelling to the other players in the game. This means providing new content structures and systems to do this. In the case of these fun pictures or fun picks that owners get to view that are secret until the person buys the other person and owns them, it adds value to a player to the player playing the game and actually buying the other person as a pet. If a person is browsing people's photos to see who to buy and notices that someone has 20 fun picks that can be seen if the person buys them, it adds more fun, value, and interaction to the game and just makes it, so it adds to the gameplay. The player unlocks more fun for themselves by getting to see these fun pictures. The game also has a shared virtual economy. The Fun Friends game has a shared virtual economy that is overlaid on top of the user-generated photos to help make the browsing of content more fun and engaging. The virtual economy helps to also filter out the relevant and more valuable user-generated content. The way the virtual economy works is that as people buy other people, they raise up the price of that other person. And so then another person has to come in and then pay the higher price to actually rebuy the pet or own the pet again. So it's kind of an auction mechanic. And let's contrast this with traditional utility design, where the designer would find a way to make the photos easier to see or more accessible to people. So for example, instead of like having a system where they had fun picks that you could only buy when you interact or play or play the game, like a normal user-generated content app would just literally try to make all the photos easier to see, easier to scroll, faster to load, stuff like that. The game utility designer, on the other hand, has to make the user-generated content feel like a reward or part of the fun flow of the game. User-generated photos are a main driver of this Fun Friends game. The game takes these photos and uses them to power advanced game and interaction systems within the game that are fun. We call these advanced game and interaction systems fun generators. Much like electricity generators generate electrical power for people to use, fun generators are advanced systems that provide fun for players within the game. We'll discuss these fun generators in more detail later on in the book. It should also be noted that the virtual economy of Fun Friends, while making monetization much more easy given the current level of game monetization understanding, is one of the more primitive and not so great types of fun generators, mainly because it involves kind of zero-sum mechanics where you're bidding against other people to buy a pet. And that can be fun to an extent, but it's kind of zero-sum and that doesn't mean that people can kind of all have the same amazing experience. I mean, when you're buying something from someone else or you have to bid against someone else, you either have the money or you don't. You may feel bad because you don't have the money, et cetera, et cetera. The other design dimension used in the Fun Friends game is the concept of utility. While other games focus on providing entertainment, just a diversion, these game utilities are meant to be both purposeful and playful. So, it has a play element, but it's also purposeful. A game utility amplifies the emotions and motivations for utilitarian activities people engage in, including shopping, daily routines, collaboration, and social interactions. Additionally, game utilities are different than traditional games because game utilities are meant to amplify, accelerate, and funify real life, whereas traditional games focus on being a diversion from real life. A game utility designer is working on designing data systems that can provide emotions on a consistent basis to the player. And not only just emotions, but utility on a consistent basis to the player. Unlike other art mediums such as stories and cartooning, these utilities, these game utilities, are services, and the proper designs offer fun systems that have variation within a certain system, structure, or context. The data stream flowing into the fun generator should allow for varied repetition and advanced fun. And we'll talk about these data streams in a later chapter too. The variation of data user-generated content can give a sense of newness to the player, even though the actual fun generator systems overlaid on top of the data are fixed. So for example, we can even consider Dig and Reddit their own little pseudo-game utilities. And these fun generators offer a system that allows for players to constantly peruse the latest news. And within this kind of interactive system, the Dig Reddit interactive system, the data variation of the news content and user comments helps to inspire and inspire people to keep using the system. And this goes to show that finding that fixed or fun system overlaid on top of the data can keep people engaged, even if the basic system, the gameplay system itself, doesn't really change much over time. Unlike traditional games, these game systems need to offer fun in a way that works with the user-generated content or data. The game designer cannot be focused necessarily on the content, but should maybe be focused on the systems that make the content engaging, fun, and addictive. And this is kind of contrasted with current game design, where people and game designers do consider and have to think about the content a decent amount. With Fun Friends, the social stream generator is, we call it a social stream or favor stream generator, is a system where players can post little jobs and gigs or favors for others to do. And it's constantly updated as players post favors for other or ask for favors from other players. Players can check this favor stream or social stream or little job stream to find other players that want to interact and play. Ultimately, effective game utilities will give players strong, compelling emotions that avoid boredom, while also giving them utilitarian value. This utilitarian value can be social interaction, news, information, learning, understanding, and other core desires found within the human psyche. Core desires and needs found within the human psyche. Good game utilities have powerful core data loops that can create fun and useful interactions. As I kind of mentioned with the Dig Reddit kind of system overlaid on top of news data, bad game utilities can lead to boredom, unclarity, and lack of emotions. Game utility designers are working on building addictive and fun games that satisfy, amplify, accelerates a person's real-world desires and needs. Unlike traditional games that are meant to be diversions from real life, these game utilities amplify, accelerate, funify immersion in real life. I keep repeating that because I just want to draw the kind of one of the core distinctions and kind of design differences or design goal differences between traditional games and these game utilities. A properly designed game utility can be a new form of distribution. I mean, the game, say a game utility is so fun and compelling that it becomes the preferred and new way of doing things. In the next chapter, we will look at the different types of data streams that can be used for game utilities. So stay tuned for that. Okay, so thank you for listening. And this is an experiment. So instead of interviewing other people, we will see if kind of covering game design concepts or advanced game design concepts or new game design concepts are compelling. And in fact, you can participate, post comments, questions, other things in the blog comment area, and let me know what you think. Let me know if you have any feedback on this new approach. But that's it for now. Thank you for checking this out, and let's see where this goes. It's nice to be able to post some content on the site. It's been a while, and let's see what happens. So thank you. Take care.